Predictions has returned. Join myself, Ian the Law Hurst, the man known as Big Chuppy, Jensen Hurst, and the original Predictions King, Musa the Savage Christian, as we try to predict and break down all the biggest fights and events in the world of MMA and combat sports. Welcome to the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast.
I said it last year.
And once again, welcome to another episode of Fight Predictions. This one is the first in-person, three-person. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
First in-person, three-person. We're off to a great start already. First time we've ever done it with three mics. I think I've figured it out. It's probably going to turn out terrible, but we will see. If you're hearing this, we got so far. As always, I am joined by Musa the Savage Christian, the first ever predictions champion, no longer though.
Slightly love that little caveat. Yeah. Okay.
Technically, you sort of the interim, but we're not going to make you the interim. you had your 5-point deduction. Let's put you behind me. But and as always, Big Chuppy, Jensen.
Hello, how we doing?
He's back after his sickness.
Trevor.
We saw his sick.
Badly. I'm feeling a bit badly.
Bit of a cough. We saw his sick note. It was legit.
The commission accepted the sick note. Yeah. There was no point deduction.
Yeah, obviously.
It was signed and sealed and delivered.
Obviously, he's now standing in for Lady Luck today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine he'll do as well now. Now he's here.
Yeah. We shall see.
Yeah, so we're back. All three of us in person for the first time. Before we get into UFC Fight Night Dern versus Rodriguez predictions, we'll quickly cover UFC 266. So obviously we did this predictions, Musa. You scored 25, I believe, out of a possible 28, which is a massive, massive jump for you.
Yeah.
Me and Jensen scored 22, I believe.
It was quite a predictable card then, really, because that's kind of there. 22 is usually enough to win it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you get 22 points.
Obviously I'm on 37 points. You're both on 36, so it's neck and neck, 1 point in it. What do you think of the card?
Yeah, dynamite, wasn't it, that main event?
Yeah, yeah. You watched it live, though, didn't
awesome,
you?
Awesome, mate. I didn't watch it live, no. No, I didn't.
No.
But awesome fight, cracking fight. How the hell he managed to hang on. Well, both of them, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, Volkanovski rocked him numerous times in first few rounds, and then them submissions that he managed to get out of.
That jumping guillotine just jumped on him, that guillotine. Yes. I was like, oh, it's over. Even though I knew the result before, as I was watching it, it's like my brain was like, no, you're not getting out of that.
It's the way he escaped it as well. It's like he kind of didn't do anything that you meant to do to escape from the thing.
No, he just kicked his legs.
He was fluttering his legs like a madman. Like, yeah, I thought this is it. He's about to go out. Because that's what you do before you go out. You start panicking and fluttering your legs. And
yeah.
Like, yeah, he just kind of...
Unfortunately, though, for Ortega, looks like he's going to have another long layoff again.
It's worrying that he's been through two of the hardest fights you can be asked to fight. You know what I mean?
He tested positive as well, didn't he? So he had to have more time off before the zombie fight. That's why he had
a zombie fight.
Before
I thought he popped way early in his career. So when he popped, was that?
Yeah. I think that was it. That's why he had so long off. I'm sure it was that. Yeah. I could be wrong. Obviously, he had a massive layoff. Now he's got a broken orbital.
I'm not surprised. Punishment he took.
Yeah.
Like, a significant strides, like 500 and something.
You've got to sometimes wonder what, I mean, obviously the corner did make the right call because he could have finished it with them subs, but two fights now, I think in the Holloway versus Ortega, that first fight they had, I thought maybe, do you know what I mean, either the corner steps in or...
He's a young guy, but you can only take so much punishment to that degree.
Yeah.
Broken orbital is a tough one because, especially if it's on the side that faces forward. So he's southpaw, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's his right side that's broke.
That's terrible.
So he's going to get hit there again multiple times in his career.
You've got to think his career has been shortened by at least five fights from having taken him two fights.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to think.
Yeah. What do we think to Diaz versus Lawler?
Looked like they were fighting in a pot of treacle. Honestly, it's like, you know, like, yeah, you look like in your opinion, you've seen the living room and, you know, when the internet goes right bad, you go, oh, it's gone right glitching. It's just
going
slow motion. Yeah.
Like a lag.
Waiting for it, but it was slow, wasn't it?
I think from watching that, I mean, it was quite sad to watch. But I honestly think Lawler should call it there. Unless they offer him a big lump sum to fight Nate Diaz, maybe.
Yeah.
His brother.
The revenge angle or something. Maybe.
Other than that, I think Lawler should walk away after that. Yeah. He's only going to fight some young up-and-comer. That's what they're going to use him for now
because they've got another one. So they're going to claim that he's still just as good as he ever was because he beat Nick Diaz that's just been drinking shots of tequila.
And Dana's been saying how good Diaz looked. And it's like, did he?
What were they watching? Yeah. I seen Connor come out praising Nick Diaz as well. And I'm thinking, is he doing that because he wants to fight him and make it like he's beat a monster?
He saw the pay-per-view numbers, didn't he? And we're like, oh yeah, he's looking good.
Yeah. I saw photos and that and he did look good. But I think he come out to that fight and he just looked overweight, didn't he?
What was that about?
Shocking that.
I think he got half through the camp.
It was shredded like months ago, like a couple of months ago, didn't it?
Yeah.
Then just looked, did that apparently, you know, the shadow boxing video. And he's always looked bad at shadow boxing, but obviously he's a great striker. Well, apparently the betting lines just completely went crazy after that. Like it became a massive underdog.
I thought maybe he was like, you know, trolling, like, you know, like Mike Perry, if you watch, go on Mike Perry's Instagram. Mike Perry always posts sparring footage where he's losing.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
And so maybe it's just like, I thought maybe it's just Nick just like, you know what I mean, trying to throw people off, like make himself look bad. But no, he really was that bad.
Yeah, it was tough to watch.
Yeah.
If he got in shape, I'd want to watch him again.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's up to him what he does, but I don't know if he fights again.
Talking about fighting Usman and that would be, if the commissioner allowed that to happen, that would be literal murder.
Yeah.
Could you imagine him fighting Usman? Like,
yeah, that'd be
in that shape.
Light him up, wouldn't
he? I think Usman smashes prime Nick Diaz, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all love Nick Diaz, but I mean, he's.
Wrestlers are his poison, to be fair. Like, look at GSP.
We were talking, weren't we? His last win was 2011 against BJ Penn.
Who then went on a 10-fight losing skid or something.
Yeah, and he's fought at featherweight. Anyway, not to knock him, because obviously they're legends.
Yeah.
So this weekend we had, not Thiago Alves.
Yeah, we had Thiago Santos versus Johnny Walker.
Thiago Santos.
In what should have been one of the most exciting fights of the year. Was a bit of a snooze fest.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah, I watched the highlights earlier. I didn't watch the full thing, I watched the highlights. Yeah. And there wasn't much of them.
No,
not much at all.
Yeah. That BT Sports guy that managed to turn like 7 minutes of footage from that, he needs a raise, doesn't he?
Have you watched it?
Yeah, Santos probably got best punch at fight, to be fair.
Yeah.
Caught him, didn't he? Rocked him.
The numbers showed that Walker scored more.
Yeah.
But obviously Santos did more damage.
Yeah, definitely. Rocked him with... Definitely one good one, but he hit him with a couple of clean ones.
Yeah. To be fair, that card looked pretty good, especially compared to the one we're about to predict.
Much better than this.
I was looking at it, I was like, fuck, we should have done that one.
I was going to say, because this card's got a lot. But the thing is, these are the cards that surprise you, because going in, if you don't know the names, these are the cards where people have got more to gain. Like,
to be fair, on a selfish side of it as well, I have to learn a little bit about these guys and girls as we're doing predictions. So then when they fight again, I'm like, oh, I remember doing this one and I've done it a few times now.
That's what we did in the first season, was a few people, weren't it? Like unknown guys that we ended up predicting a few times because they have a quick turnaround.
And then they come back up again in a couple of months.
Yeah.
So
they all seem to be fighting for bigger reasons as well, though, don't they, than the more well-known ones. Generally, they're fighting to stay in UFC.
Or get into the top 15
to keep the lights on sometimes, these fighters. Yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, the name value isn't there. But there is some impressive fighters on it. They've got some good wins, some good highlights already. So we are predicting Mackenzie Dern. She's currently ranked number 4 against Rodriguez, ranked 6th. So we could see a number 1 contender come out of this. So it's not a completely unimportant card. It could spell for a new contender. For who's the champion now? Oh, it's Rose.
Yeah.
For Rose. Yeah. I'm sure Dern used to fight it. Did she fight at 125?
115.
Yeah, she does now. But did she used to fight at 125? Or I think she missed weight.
Since at least 2018. I don't know.
Before. Yeah, I think they were talking about moving up, weren't they? Because she kept missing weight, and then since she's had a baby, she's in better shape than ever. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, just refocused.
Got no excuse now. She's getting in better shape than ever.
especially if you've got a full time job, no excuse.
Yeah. Full-time working mother, no excuse, get in shape.
Yeah.
If you haven't got a six-pack, you're lazy, quite frankly.
Exactly. Right, so we'll get into it then. So, as always, on a fight night card, we predict 6 fights. Pay-per-view is 7.
out of a possible 6 fights, I believe we can score 21. Yeah, 21 points up for grabs. First fight is Chris Gutierrez versus Felipe Colares. Yeah. So I'll go first, then Musa. Oh, no, sorry. I'll go first, then Jensen, then you, Musa.
Yeah, that's wicked, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's what we did last time.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Gutierrez, 16-4-1 against Felipe Colares, 10-2. So the bookies have got Gutierrez as a favorite at minus 260. He's also 2-2 in the UFC. Oh, no, sorry. He's 4-1-1 in the UFC. And Colares is 2-2 in the UFC. So Gutierrez, 6 fights in. Colares, 4 fights in. It's tough, this, because they didn't release the fight card until today. I had to go through Wikipedia to find out who's on. So, yeah, it's been tough to get any sort of information on any of them. So I'm looking forward to hopefully...
How can you promote a card like this?
FYI? Shocking, isn't it?
How are people meant to get people excited when they're not even on? Do you know what I mean?
A few days out when there were only 3 fights on the card.
Yeah. Weird.
Insane. Yeah, I had to go through these little back websites to find anything about this card. So I haven't got much on this, but just looking at Gutierrez, since he's been in the UFC, 4-1-1, I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go my biggest points, 6 prediction points on Gutierrez. Jensen, what you got?
I've got Gutierrez. I've got 2 on him. He's, like you say, in his last 5, he's won 4, drawn 1. Colares has won 3, lost 2. I think Gutierrez should do it. Easy.
From looking at it, yeah.
I had a look at this, and something that drew my attention was they fought a similar caliber of guys. In the last 5, they've actually fought one. They've got one common opponent, Geraldo de Freitas, who, and I know MMA math doesn't work, but Gutierrez defeated him quite handedly, unanimous decision, and Colares lost to him. So I know that doesn't mean anything in the world of MMA math, but you've got to kind of look, go on what, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that much about them, so I kind of went on that. And they fought a similar caliber of guys. It's not like Colares has been fighting killers and Gutierrez has been fighting bums or anything like that. And I just think Gutierrez has got the better record, got a lot more experience, had almost double the fights, 23 against 12 fights overall. And he got a higher finish rate as well. So I think the odds are really looking Gutierrez taking this one. I too am going to go Gutierrez, but for 5 points.
5 on Gutierrez.
Yeah.
Right then. So next fight. Again, there were sort of rumours about this fight being on this card, but I couldn't find much about it. I believe this is a rematch. There was not from actual fighting. Sorry, not rematch.
Rescheduled
fight, yeah. One of them got injured. Was it Wynn?
Wynn got an injured rib and torn cartilage.
There we go, yeah. So this has been rescheduled. We've got Phil Hawes versus Daron Wynn. So Phil Hawes, 11-2. Wynn, 7-2. Phil Hawes is currently, by the look of it, the biggest favourite on the card at -265.
I noticed that, yeah.
You told me about this actually the other day.
Yeah.
I don't want to steal any of your thunder on your facts, but Wynn's only 5'6".
He's 5'6" on a good day. Like some sites have him listed as 5'5", believe it or not. Yeah.
At middleweight. Yeah.
I've seen 5'5½.
Yeah. And this is a man that actually misses weight a lot, Daron Wynn.
Joking.
He's come down from light heavyweight, right, at 5'5". And he's actually renowned for missing weight.
Oh, my God. He's just a tree stump. I'd love to see if anyone can take him down. I don't know how you get under his hips.
Centre of gravity of a bull.
Wynn 4 on the... Oh, this is a good fact for you. I don't know about it. I don't know if you know about this. Wynn 4 on the Liddell versus Ortiz 3 card.
I've seen that, yeah.
Beating filthy Tom Lawler.
Yeah, he beat Tom Lawler, yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Probably got paid about 40 quid for it as well. Oscar De La Hoya changing the fight game.
He's like, you can keep your gloves as well. Oh yeah, cheers, mate.
Yeah.
You got a free t-shirt. So Hawes is 3-0 in the UFC currently, undefeated in the UFC. I do believe that's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Phil Hawes on this one. I haven't got any more information on him. But I'm going to go 5 points on Phil Hawes. Jensen, who you got?
Well, this one's pretty simple for me, to be fair. Hawes is a beast, 6 foot. Wins like 5-6. Be like me fighting Musa.
I'd pay to watch that. I'll get on the phone to Oscar De La Hoya. Put another fucking shit card on. I've got my idea.
He's got a 7.5-inch reach advantage on him as well. So you'd expect him to lie him up, really.
You'd think so.
Yeah. I've gone for Hawes on six. He's also on a 7-fight win streak, so you'd expect it. It's got to be one in it, isn't there? So I've gone 6 points on Hawes.
What's that?
Big Phil Hawes got one of the coolest nicknames in the UFC as well, in Megatron. He's just looked, and he has just looked like an absolute monster ever since he's come into it. I was thinking about this, you know, like, you know, when you go, when the ice cream van comes when you're younger, you hear the ding, 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 and you're like, monk of ice cream, she's got chalk ices at home. This is like, can we have DC vs. Jones again? We've got DC vs. Jones at home.
Where have you got this from?
Phil Hawes is actually a training partner of John Jones.
Right, okay.
And he's kind of long, and he's not, don't really fight much like John Jones, but you know, a big tall guy. Right. And Darren Wynn is obviously Daniel Cormier's best buddy.
Is it?
They're like best mates. Yeah, he helps coach his younger team. He's a wrestling coach at AKA.
So he looks a bit like Cormier. I haven't done enough research on Darren Wynn. Is he a wrestler?
Yes, yes, very high level.
I assume so.
He was originally, he was the guy they brought in when DC turned into a full-time fighter.
Right.
They brought Darren Wynn in on his recommendation to be the wrestling coach at AKA.
Right then. It's interesting that.
And obviously, really, you should expect me to go for the little midget guy because I'm a big advocate for people that are vertically challenged like myself. But I just can't look past Phil Hawes, like 5'5" at middleweight.
You said the other day, I've got to go for Wynn.
I know, but the more I've looked into it, it's like, this would just be throwing. I want to win the competition more than I want to support midgets around the world.
Yeah, you can't go for him because he's taller than you.
And I think if Jerome Wynn misses weight as well, he's just be instantly caught. Yeah. But no, I'm going to go for Hawes. I'm going to go for my maximum point, 6 points.
Just take his leg off. Six so on miss weight again.
Yeah, so we've all thrown some big points on that fight.
I think we've both gone for our two. Oh, no, we haven't. No, you've got two on you, Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and you have lumped our big two already. So.
Yeah, first fights. next fight, Maria Agapova versus Sabrina Mazo. I believe that's how you say the last name, Mazo.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got Agapova 9-1 and Mazo 9-2. So it's quite evenly matched on a record. Mazo is a favourite at -157. She's 3-2 in her last five. Agapova is 1-1 in the UFC, so she's only had two fights in the UFC. Mazo's a little bit more experienced in the UFC, had a few more fights. Obviously, she's lost a couple, but she's won three as well. Again, I haven't got loads of information on this one. Usually, another rule of thumb that I've got, you'll know this, Musa, is I like to go with the one that's had a little bit more experience in the UFC at times. Yeah. There's a certain amount of experience where you start to tip off the other end, i.e. sort of Nick Diaz or Donald Cerrone when you've had too many fights. But I think five fights or more than just over five fights in the UFC is sort of the sweet spot. I'm going to go Sabrina Mazo, 2 prediction points. Jensen, who have you got?
Well, like I say, they're both young. I think Mazo's 24. I think Agapova's 22. Both coming off a loss. Agapova lost to Shauna Dobson, a big upset to end a 3-fight win streak. Mazo lost to Alexis Davis. You think Agapova's been lucky to finish it early, to be fair. In her last few fights, she gasses a bit after the first round. I'm hoping it'll be Agapova. I've got one on her.
One on Agapova, so we've gone opposite there.
Yeah, I weren't really confident, but I'm going to go for Agapova.
That's the first. I think we've gone the same on the first two, aren't we, all three of us? Musa, who have you got?
Well, you know me, on this podcast, I like to bring, like, you know, the hard-hitting facts, like real gritty journalism, the stuff that matters, really.
Yeah,
do you know
obviously,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That matters,
like,
on the night.
When we discussed Ian Heitch, I brought up his past as a drug dealer in Spain.
Yep.
So with Agapova, just a little fun fact for you, she recently got accused by a teammate of being a meth addict.
Oh, yeah.
And there is currently a video circulating of her clearly off her head on some form of substance.
What, recently?
Never touched anything
she
like
got
that.
Booted, myself. Didn't she, from that, from the American MMA team?
Yeah. Screaming at some guy, claiming her name's Jasmine, off a nut gurning in a car park.
Right.
So I don't know if that'll factor into the fight.
But she passed a pre-fight drug test?
Yeah, there's no meth in her system. So, I mean, this is all hearsay. I
don't know if meth had helped, to be honest. It might do. A little bit of meth to just give you that little kick.
I wouldn't know. I've never touched drugs. and you know, I like to make my picks on, like, real solid evidence. So for this one, I asked our lass which name she preferred. She thinks Mazo's going to win. So I went,
hang on a minute. You were just saying how much you want to win this competition.
Yeah, but this one I just looked at it. I thought, I don't know.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
So I asked her which one. She said Mazo sounded a cool name. I went for Mazo. One point
on Mazo. Yeah. Right. Next fight, we've got Tim Elliott, ranked number 9 at flyweight, against Matthews Nicolau, ranked 11.
Be a good fight, this.
Yeah, should yeah. Be. Obviously, similar ranking. Completely different in the experience. Actually, not that much experience difference. Tim Elliott's been around, though. Tim Elliott's fought the best of the best at flyweight.
He's a monster.
Just coming off of the Ultimate Fighter. We were talking about this earlier, weren't we, Jensen, yeah. Before the podcast. I think he was on a 3-fight losing streak, went to Titan FC, won the belt in his first fight there, defended it 2 or 3 times, came back, won the Ultimate Fighter, and went to war with Demetrius Johnson. I'm sure he nearly finished him. It was like a really close decision. And then after that, I think he lost 2 or 3. And now he's on a 2-fight win streak, which is ideal. Usually they drop off after that, but he seems to still have that determination to become the best. Like I say, Elliott's on a 2-fight win streak, but Nicolau is on a 3-fight win streak.
He's also won 9 of his last 10 fights.
9 of his last 10. Yeah. He's a rising star, yeah. Nicolau. But there's something about Tim Elliott that I seem to be always in his corner when he's fighting. Obviously, don't know him, yeah. But I just seem to pull for him. I like that underdog. Usually, I go for the favourite in these fights, which would be Matthews Nicolau -170. But I'm going to go with Tim Elliott. I'm not confident. I'm only going to go 1 prediction point. But I think he gets it done with experience. And I think he slides back up that ranking towards that top 5 again. I want to see him challenge for the belt. I'm going to go, like I say, Tim Elliott, 1 prediction point. Jensen?
I'm kind of on the same vibe as you, mate, to be fair. Yeah, like I say, Nicolau's won 9 of his last 10. Elliott's won his last 2 after losing 4 out of 5 before that. But yeah, I'm rooting for Elliott. I've won 3 on Elliott.
3 on Elliott? Is there a reason for that, or just competition level? Or?
No, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's how it's worked out. It's really hard to predict this one, and that's what I've gone for.
It is tough. Musa, who have you got?
I totally get your point about Elliott. But like I say, what I always say is it's about when a fight happens in a career. Yeah. And you know, I like to think when someone's stock is rising and they've got that momentum.
I agree.
And Nicolau is like, he's got wins against tough guys, Louis Smolka, for one. Like, do you know what I mean? He's not fought mugs when he's got in the UFC. He's got lightning fast hands. He's got good wrestling as well. I just think at this stage in the career, if we were talking about this like a year or 2 years ago, it might be different. But at this stage in the career, I just think Nicolau gets it done. I think it's just his moment and his time.
Yeah, I'm just... sorry, go on.
Yeah, so I'm going to go 2 points on Nicolau.
2-1 Nicolau. Yeah, so sort of same as... Well, we're all sort of in the same boat there, not massively confident on this fight. You can tell it's going to be close. It looks like in July, just before we move on, he got knocked out by Dustin Ortiz, and then that's when he went on his 3-fight win streak.
Oh, right.
But his last one was a split decision, so it was close.
Apparently, he shouldn't have really got that one, I think, as well.
Did you not?
No.
Yeah, I need to have a little watch. But either way, it's a competitive fight.
Yeah,
and he's definitely won more than
Tim Elliott. Wouldn't be displeased to see Tim Elliott win because he's a cool guy as well. I love in fighting and in life people that are like had it, lost it, got it back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that determination.
Yeah, that determination. Like that's what really makes a fighter. And Tim Elliott to be in the UFC, achieve his dream, and then have to drop out and then have to work himself back in by winning the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
And then fight for the title. Like, that's like.
Walk in there against Demetrius Johnson and put on the showing of your lifetime, really.
It's a Rocky story, isn't it? And we all love, like, that. Do you know what I mean? Someone that has to fight back from the bottom, like,
Yeah. No, I agree. So, co-main event, we have Randy Brown against Gerard Gooden. So, let me just check it. I don't think they're ranked. No, I believe they're both not ranked. Randy Brown, 13-4. Gerard Gooden, 18-8. 18-6. Randy Brown's the bigger favourite on the card at -250, which is quite big. I believe in his last fight, he beat Cowboy Oliveira. Let me just check.
Yeah, he did. Alex Oliveira by a first round sub.
Yeah, subbed Oliveira, which is a big win. Before that, he lost against Luque, beat Wally Alvarez, beat Brian Barberena, lost to Nicolau Price. Is it Nicolau Price?
Yeah.
He's beat some good guys, but when he seems to come against that top level, so your Luques and your Prices, it seems to come unstuck a little bit. Brown's currently 3-2 in his last 5. Gooden is 1-2 in his last 3. This nearly switched it for me, which is ridiculous. But tell me this isn't one of the best nicknames in the game. Gooden's nickname is the Night Train. Night, spelled N-I-T-E. The Night Train.
A rude boy Brown.
Yeah, so that's a great nickname. I've never heard Night Train. Rude Boy Brown, that's a good name as well. Yeah, again, Brown's a big favourite, so that's mainly the reason why I'm going to go with him. I don't think Gooden's in that sort of Luke Price level. Yeah, so I'm going to go Brown, I think. I'm going to go 4 prediction points on Randy Brown. Jensen, who have you got?
Well, like you said, both fighters, I've got, they're both 3-2 in the last 5. Both well-rounded fighters. Should be a good fight. I've got Brown for 5 points.
5?
Well, I just think Brown will do it easily. I think he should definitely do it. Gooden's first win in Octagon, well, in UFC, was the last one, I think. And he's just beaten Nicholas Stoltz in just over a minute. But that's his only win.
Yep. So he came into the UFC and lost his first 2.
Yeah.
And then he won,
that.
Stoltz.
By absolutely starting him, apparently. Wow. The first minute.
That's when the chips are down.
Chips are down, yeah. If he loses this next one, he's lost 2, won 1, lost 1. You could be out after that.
You could.
I can't remember how many. I don't know if it's a 4 or 5 fight contract they usually sign.
Is that what they sign
when they first come in?
It used to be 3, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because it used to be 3 and done. If you lost 3 in a row, you were gone. 100%. But now, like they do, sometimes people have more leeway. Well, BJ Penn can lose like 24 in a row.
Yeah, well, they can sign you to whatever. But really, they can cut you when they want. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're guessing what contract he's on. But it won't look good for him if he gets, well, sort of starched in this.
No, definitely not.
How many did you say you went?
I've got 5 on Brown.
5 on Brown. Yeah. Musa, what have you got?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning the same way. What swung it for me is just look at this quality opposition that they've both fought. Like, Brown's losses are to Vicente Luque, one of the top guys in the world.
Yeah.
Nico Price, who's an upcoming star. Bilal Muhammad, one of the top guys in the world. Michael Graves. Who the fuck is that guy?
Who the fuck is that guy? Who the fuck is that?
I don't know who that is, but I'm sure he's pretty good. He's got good wins, though. He's beat Mickey Gall, beat Barbarina, beat Wally Alves, who beat himself, beat Colby Covington. And then he finished Oliveira, who was a hard guy to finish, with a one-armed rear naked choke. Which is pretty cool.
I'm sure he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu as well, Oliveira.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Well, I mean, they give him away in Brazil, don't they? They've all got him. As Chael Sonnen says, they get him in there. Cereal boxes. But have all the Brazilians.
Worked his entire life for it.
Yeah.
Where Saturday, like,
Have some midget muppet just tell him it's doesn't count because he's Brazilian. I've gone Randy Brown. I've gone 4 points. I think it should be a relatively, on paper, straightforward night for him. So he'll probably get starts in the first.
So 4 on Brown.
Yeah.
Right then, main event time. It's number 4 rank, Mackenzie Dern versus number 6 rank, Marina Rodriguez. It's a bit of a tough one for me to pick this one. Who did she fight that really impressed me? Was it Amanda Ribas? And she KO'd her. And I'm sure she went into that as like quite a big underdog. Everyone was like quite high on Ribas. And Rodriguez put on an absolute performance. Ribas's last fight, a loss. Before that, subbed Paige VanZant, beat Randa Marcos, beat Mackenzie Dern, and Whitmire. I am a fan of Rodriguez, just after watching that fight. Absolute killer. Great striker. Don't know what her grappling's like. She seemed to have decent wrestling takedown defense. But Dern's on a 4-fight win streak, which is impressive.
That's after losing to Ribas.
That's her only... So she lost against Ribas, who was the last person to be beat by Rodriguez, MMA math. Obviously, since then, 4-fight win streak. It's a tough one, but just with their styles, I think Dern's a bad style for Rodriguez. Great striker, but she's tall, thin. I don't know if she's got the sort of hips to stop Dern getting her down. She needs to be built a bit more like Daron Wynn, to be honest. Short, stocky, can't get underneath her. That'd be better. But that tall, long frame, it's easier for the wrestlers to sort of get that hip to the ground. I'm going to go Dern on this one. I think she wins by sub. I've got 3 prediction points on Mackenzie Dern. Jensen, who have you got?
I'm going for very similar, mate. She's a sub specialist, isn't she?
Yeah.
I'm predicting Dern's going to do it. I've got Dern for four. Like we said, she's on a four-fight win streak after losing to Ribas. That's the last loss. Rodriguez is on a two-fight win streak. Yeah, one for Dern, pretty much.
How many points did you say?
Four.
Four on Dern. Confident then. Musa?
Again, styles make fights, don't they? I just think Dern's going to have too much for a grappling-wise. Got to remember, Dern's one of the former number one woman in the world in jiu-jitsu as well.
Correct.
She's got an ADCC world title. She's got an ADCC North American title. Two Gi World Championships, two No Gi World Championships. That's just amongst like the very top things. So like her jiu-jitsu is pretty much as elite as it gets.
Oh,
in MMA. Well, in MMA full stop, not just women's MMA. It's, you can't really get higher than an ADCC World Champion. That's like the World Cup of grappling, isn't it? Yeah, for me, Mackenzie Dern takes down Subda. And I'm going to go for my last 3 points on Dern.
Three on Dern. Yeah. It's that classic striker versus grappler matchup.
If striker versus grappler, if they're any
nine
close,
times out of ten,
the grappler wins.
Yeah, yeah, every time. So that'll do us for this one. Obviously, the points are very close in the competition. But ultimately, it's I enjoy it because it makes me interested in the fights, having a bit of a competition.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll probably have a couple of weeks off. We'll come back. We'll try and do one before UFC 267. But obviously, we'll definitely be doing that one.
Is there anything good on before that? We'll have a look.
I was looking. I'm
no
sure.
No Bellator cards we could do, maybe?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, that last one would have been all right,
wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah.
It was Michael Venom Pedro's Lima.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I didn't watch it. No,
I didn't watch it. I think Lima won that fight. To be
fair, a lot of people do.
Michael Venom Pedro gets weird knockdowns. Like, I don't know if they're scoring them knockdowns, and that's why he got maybe got a 10-8. But it's not like he's knocking him down clean. It's because he blitzes him with that karate style, and almost like barrels him over sometimes. You know what I mean? It's not like he caught him with a charges him down. And
so we've got this home versus Demont. On the 16th, there's Nemkov versus, I don't know who the hell that is. I assume this is Johnson's replacement.
Yeah. Put Romero
Angelicas? God knows. UFC Fight Night, Costa versus Vittori. That might be worth doing.
Yeah, that's definitely worth doing. That'd be a great fight. Yeah.
We'll do Fight Night, Costa versus Vittori on the 23rd. And then we've got Blachowicz versus Teixeira, UFC 267.
Which is what date's that?
That is. Let's check. That would be the week after.
Yeah.
So we'd have two in a row. That. So we'd have Costa and Vittori on the 23rd. Then on the 30th of October, Blachowicz versus Teixeira. Obviously, we'll do the predictions the week before. Aljamain Sterling's just got injured, hasn't he? So he's out. So it's the co-main event.
Definitely
the co-main event's, Jan versus... Oh, what's his name now?
Sandhagen?
That's it, Sandhagen. Even though he's coming off a loss. Yeah, it's confirmed.
Awesome, that should be good.
Yeah, should be a good fight, that. So as always, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at TheCPWPod. Facebook on the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast Facebook page. I think that's all the places, is it?
Yeah, that's all.
We'll put some stuff up. But yeah, hope the quality of this one was a little bit better. I don't even know what picture I'm going to put up yet. I'm sure I'll pull some out of the bag last second.
I was going to mention... We'll probably talk about this off podcast, to be fair. Fury's bought out his own social media platform. Maybe we should jump on that one.
I'll have a word with him.
We'll get on early. Yeah, have a word with him. See if he sorts out a deal or something.
Offer him a t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
A big John Fiore message.
Seems like a reasonable guy. Right, so that'll do us today, and we'll see you on the next one.